Support for GLT comes from Bloomington Public Library, now offering a local podcast, Shelf Understanding. Past topics include the tiny house movement, virtual reality, an interview with author Eric Larson, and more. Shelf Understanding is available at bloomingtonlibrary.org, through iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org.
There just aren't enough good things to say about native plants. I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert in the field, from the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum. It's Patrick Murphy. Hello, Murph.
Hello, Laura.
Today on GLT's Grow, we're going to go native with ideas for using native plants in your yard and why it's such a good idea. And this is just a heads up for you. The Illinois Prairie Wild Ones actually inspired this idea. They're having a program on Tuesday, the 24th, out at Heartland Community College. They're bringing in Douglas Tallamy, a noted ecologist and author who's going to be talking about creating a living landscape and using natives.
Oh, wonderful.
So natives are really good. So that's free and open to the public. Again, that's on the 24th at 7 out at Heartland Community College. So native plants, can't go wrong there, Murph.
Native plants are really underappreciated still. And the native plant trend, some people believe that it started, myself, I believe it started around the 1970s, but it could have started before.
Really?
But what happened in the 70s? Do you remember when Carter was president and there were gas lines?
Oh, sure.
And I think that that could have been a catalyst. That's an opinion that I happen to agree with.
We started focusing a lot more on the environment.
Yes, that's right. There became some awareness because of that petrofuel shortage.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there are lots of different points of view and opinions on native. Even the term has...
Is it debatable?
It is debatable.
Okay.
And I'm not saying there's no such thing as a native. I'm the opposite direction from that. But there are some people that believe a native is a true native, and that's the only native. And then there's your nativars. Those are plants that have been improved or domesticated by men and women. But its parent plant was a native plant.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to think about if it's native, is it native to where? Native to where?
Well, that's right. Well,
right?
See, I always thought native plants meant that they've grown in the United States for thousands of years or something.
Actually, that's pretty close, Laura, because
okay.
Only truly native plants are those that are still growing where they originated.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's some flexibility in the term because of that. And in the biology and horticulture circles, because they don't always interconnect. There's sometimes differences of opinion there.
Okay.
But what existed in Eastern North America prior to the arrival of Euros and Vikings and mm-hmm. Chinese people, because there's kind of debates about who got here first,
uh-huh.
or plants that had an adaptability to a climate or soil over the past several thousand years. And this is a term that Guy Sternberg and Jim Wilson, the authors of the book Landscaping with Native Trees, this is one way that they explain it. And I think that it's pretty neat way to understand it. The difference between natives and adaptables to horticulture people is adaptables are plants that come from somewhere else, but they seem to like it in their new home. And they have something to do with why there are fewer natives, because...
Oh, they forced them out.
They kind of forced them out, but they're forced out by fashion.
They're like the European starlings.
They're a lot like that.
Okay.
And carrier pigeons and things like that.
So, right.
Here in the Midwest and McLean County and on ISU's campus, we should see lots of black gum trees. They were part of the native forest, but they're not really common. They're mm-hmm. still a little bit on the rare side. There are several.
Because they're not fashionable?
They are fashionable. I just think the time that has forgotten them.
Ugh.
And this is a great selling point for native trees. The black gum, among other native trees, is a host to nearly 1,000 other types of life. Okay, compare that to a ginkgo, which is highly sought after. I have them in my own yard, my mm-hmm. own property, more than one. It's a host to zero things that live here. So there are not bugs creating shelter there. There may be the occasional bird nest, but they just don't support the life cycle like a native plant would.
You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty. This week, native plants in the landscape. Now, I'm sure you have some favorite native plants. Are there some, you know, new ways we can look at using native plants in our yards?
Absolutely. And I've been to landscape seminars, so many and so many different ones in my career. I'm fortunate to have been exposed to that. So I picked up some of this stuff along the way. So if you're listening to me and you've shared some knowledge with me in the past and I don't remember your name, please don't take it personally.
Okay.
But the natives are to be used in our landscape as we see them in nature. That's the best way to do it. Why? Because if they grow that way in nature, they're certainly going to grow that way in your landscape. And the best way for me to explain that or to highlight that is think about how you see plants in nature. Not the park where man has picked everything.
Right.
I mean nature. Plants grow in groupings of like kinds. If you see white pines are native. If you see white pines in the forest, you might see native dogwoods near them because they like the company of other trees.
Oh.
So that can be arranged that way in the landscape, still have a highly manicured look, and be very low maintenance compared to a landscape made of primarily adaptable visiting plants.
Okay.
Right?
And goodness knows that we want to be able to plant things that aren't going to get really thirsty in the middle of July, and they're going to be able to withstand, you know, our summers here. So what are some good ideas for smaller plants that we can incorporate?
For bedding plants that are on the native side, there are a group called forbs, and they are broadleaf plants that grow in the woods that
Ooh,
have flowers.
Cool.
So you got your trillium, your May apple,
oh,
and others. Bluebells, right?
Yes.
So they're not technically a forb, but they're plants that grow in big masses. And when you have them, you will definitely love them because they're a space holder until it's time to start mowing the grass.
Yes.
And then when it starts to get hot and you're mowing the grass less and there's less of green excitement in your lawn, it still exists with these forbs because they're kind of at the end of their cycle during that period. And then they disappear and they come back. But the grasses that are available in the prairie palettes of native plants for any region are really noteworthy. Grasses are awesome because they can accommodate swings in environment. So you have drought periods and the grasses in the landscape seem to weather it quite well. And I mentioned that drought and extreme thing, the adaptables are not as well suited for the big changes in the landscape, mm-hmm, that are related to weather, climate, and things like that. The natives, that's why they're native. They can take those extremes. You know, man's life is short, and we live here, and we see the plants change over the years of our lives, and we think that's it, you know? And by that time, we've wasted half of a lifetime mowing and trimming and all that stuff, and if we would have all had native landscapes, I think we'd have found another hobby. It would have been a lot easier to take care of. But I think some people's preference and taste take them to the adaptable stuff and the really formalized landscapes, which are more challenging to do with the native plants.
So do you have a favorite native that you would like people to try?
My favorite native tree is the alder.
The alder?
The alder, the black alder, the common alder. And that's its common name. It's kind of like a fruit salad where there is always something there. There's all
oh, has, all year long.
Has some surprises all the time,
cool,
even in the winter when the leaves are gone. I'm a big fan of those. And at the science lab building here on ISU's campus, we have a new landscape that has some coral berry, which is a woodland native shrub. And beautiful flowers, hard to get. That's the second one of my favorites for the natives.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for those ideas, Murph. Do appreciate it.
You're
Next
welcome.
Week, we've got a question from Texas about using prairie verbena in the landscape.
All right.
The stars at night are big and bright, aren't
indeed,
they?
Indeed.
Now, we'd love to hear from you. Send your questions to WGLT.org/grow.